Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And, you know, we talk about the eye test with the Texans, right? And that they're not passing the eye test so far. This Rockets team isn't doing it either so far. It's only four games in, and they got a long way to go. But their problem, their fourth quarter problems from last year, where they just have the other night against San Antonio, it was the second quarter that they went 9 minutes without scoring a point. Last night, between the third and the fourth quarter, they had 7 minutes in which they were outscored 27-8. They had a 21-point lead with 3:17 to play in the third quarter, and it was a 2-point game with 8:07 left in the game. 2-point game.
Well, I mean, it was helped out by a 6-point play.
Well, yeah.
I didn't see
that. That was a bad. That was terrible.
So I didn't. I had the volume down. So I saw the four. I mean, Chris got the 4-point play. Chris Paul got a 4-point play. Hit a three. Got fouled. How did he? They had an untimed free throw, and then they got the ball back. How did they get the ball back?
Well, because it was a flagrant. They called it a flagrant.
They called that a flagrant?
Yeah. It was just, I know.
Was it a flagrant?
Well, a danger, whatever the terminology is.
Oh, my. I've never seen a 6-point play like that.
No.
And then they hit, you know, and then, of course, they hit the basket. They hit a two. It was a fadeaway by Wembanyama. And who the Rockets did a pretty good job on yesterday. You know, Rockets go small against Wimby. They don't. They play back-to-back games, and both times they love, and I think this is the right move. This is how you know what Ime Udoka's personality is. He's got Dylan Brooks on him because he knows that those tall, thin guys, just like Kevin Durant, they don't like little bullies on them.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of passive by nature. Very skilled. Highly skilled.
It was interesting, the minutes. Because,
man,
yeah, LP was only out there for 26. I liked Steven Adams, too. Steven Adams looked good.
Yeah.
He was 3-for-3, but he had 3 rebounds. He was deep. He was tough defensively. He didn't have any blocks. But, Steven Adams is – that is an upgrade. That was a really nice move. I think an underrated move by the organization, Rafael, last year, picking him up. Letting him sit all last year, and now let's go see what he can do this year, backing up and giving solid minutes behind Alperen. But they had 8 minutes where neither of them were on the floor. They went small.
And, why I didn't get too riled up about the minutes in the first game, because this is going to be a fluid process moving forward. Reed Shepard's minutes have come down.
Well, it's 3 minutes last night.
Yeah, Camps has gone up. Reed's has gone down. That's why I was not fussing after
Cam. Cam was not good last. Cam was not good last night.
Well but his minutes have come up recently.
Yeah, he had 12. He had 12 last night.
Yeah, the game before.
Yeah, right.
And it's. I think that's just how it's going to be. I don't think there's going to be a set number of minutes. I think it's going to be an exploratory venture for him. But also, he's going to match up differently against different teams.
I don't know. Early on, you know, he loves Van Vliet, and Jalen had put up 36 last. That was a Jalen game last night. Now.
Jalen game. Have you kept up with Jalen this year?
Yeah.
Jalen's whole season is good so far.
No, his first couple games he sucked.
No, his first game he scored. I wouldn't say his first couple games he sucked.
Well, his shooting was terrible.
Okay, well, he's averaging about 30 a game right now.
Yeah, he's averaging 30, but he's 28 on 25. Well, I mean,
Allen Iverson did the same thing. It's going to happen from time to time.
Yeah, well.
He's grabbing rebounds. He's made 7 threes yesterday, 7 of 15.
Was good. 7 of 13. He was good.
7 of 13. Really he's good. Been Jalen has been really good, really explosive. I've been happy with what I've seen from him so far.
That's why I don't know that, you know, as deep as they are And I don't know that there's going to be a whole hell of a lot of minutes for Dree Shepherd or Cam Whitmore, because he really loves Van Vliet at 41 last night minutes.
Well, okay, he loves, like, that's his
dude. He loves him some Van Vliet. Loves him some
And
Van
the
Vliet.
Option is Reed Shepherd behind him, which I don't mind, but I don't know. There's just something. And Fred is able to create steals. He's one of the top guys in terms of creating steals. It's unbelievable. And I just think it's going to be – you're going to be on a roller coaster ride. If you're just sitting there looking at minutes and expecting it to be static, it's going to be fluid throughout the year.
Not static. It's just interesting that, you know, as deep as they are,
That's why.
Yeah, he's sticking with his starters as much as he is.
Well, he's changed.
I think when it's all said and done, even though Jabari, he had a huge three from the corner last night. I mean, when they really needed it bad, and Jabari came up with a huge three, and he played pretty well. I mean, nothing against his game last night. He was solid.
No, the backcourt.
But I think that's where the minutes are probably.
It's going to be the front court. Yeah, the backcourt is going to be static. The front court's going to be fluid, because the matchups you have with Tari, Jabari, Amen Thompson, and Alpi and Dylan Brooks, like, you can really mix and match a lot there. But with Wembanyama, they just clearly believe getting away from conventional big. Like, even though Alpi had a phenomenal game last year against Wembanyama, he has not put together big games against him the first two games this year. And I just think the Rockets just say, you know what, let's go bully him with a smaller lineup. I mean, what's it? You can have 6'10" Alperen Şengün, 6'11" Alperen Şengün. It's not like there's going to be a what you're sacrificing quickness on the perimeter. He can shoot over everyone. That's not going to be a problem. Anybody you put on him, he can shoot over him. Why not make him uncomfortable? And so I think Ime's looking for guys that make him uncomfortable. It was a good first half for the Rockets. They pushed and extended the lead. Like you said, John, they didn't. It's good to get that win and split out in San Antonio. They came close to being the team. It actually worked in reverse. Remember, it was the exact opposite, where the Rockets were bad in the first half, played bad basketball, and then all of a sudden they got within two in the last game over the weekend, and they had a chance to come out there and win the game. This time the Spurs get within two after being way behind. But in both cases, the team with the big lead ends up winning the game, and the Rockets end up splitting it out over the two games, you know, the back-to-back there. Not back-to-back games, not in days, but they stay in San Antonio, which I think is smart from
That's
a travel
good.
Standpoint. I like that they're doing it. Rockets now 2-2, but the story right now so far, the first four games, the storyline is Jalen Green's explosive scoring and how he's coming out of the gate. I think to an extent, it's a little bit about what's interesting to me is that Van Vliet is really piling on the minutes this year. And he had a huge three to basically seal the game yesterday. Jalen drove and wasn't – I like, John, that he got by his defender, but it kind of slowed down. And there was help that came over. And he did a really good job of going and finding Fred. He didn't do anything selfish. He found Fred, and Fred did what he's supposed to do, which is knock down open look.
Yeah. Jalen's first couple of games, he was 9-for-23 and 8-for-21. And hey, how about his first game? 2 rebounds, no assists, no blocks, no steals, no personal fouls, no turnovers. He basically just, every time he touched the ball, he just shot. That is not, remember last year, about midway through last year, Ime took him aside, told him, watch this tape. You're not doing anything here. You're not grabbing any rebounds. You're not playing defense. You're not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
That first game was almost like the first half of his season last year. And then in the last couple of games, he's actually gotten involved with four assists, 5 assists, just 2 last night. But 6 rebounds, 6 rebounds, just one rebound last night. He has to be more involved with everything other than just, you know, grab it, give me the ball, and let me just shoot it.
Well, maybe. I mean, you'd like for him to rebound more.
No, Ime said it. Ime said that, and he changed his game in the second half, and it absolutely made a huge difference.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, he's also shooting 41% from three this year, which is really, really good. So I'm not gonna fuss. I mean, the Rockets, people don't look at shooting percentage anymore.
He's shooting 41%. He's shooting 41%.
That's what I said. He's shooting 41% from three.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he's shooting 43 from the field, but 41 from – I mean, let's face it. Teams don't care about shooting percentage. They care about true shooting percentage. They care about your threes and your twos and how many points per possession that you're generating. And Jalen's is up this year.
Yeah.
And he's been
two good shooting games and he's had two bad shooting games.
Well, shooting, like I said, 41% from three is what they care about. Yeah. More than
right.
Most.
But one
and
game
not
was
turning it over.
And one game was 33, one game was 30.
But
the others were 53 and 50. He's had two good shooting games and two bad shooting games.
But that's
games.
Once again, they don't look at – you're looking at just a field goal percentage. You got to look at true shooting because that's how they measure it. It's even on their board. They
I
look
understand
at, you have to look
that.
At 3 points.
I understand that, but he's had two good and two bad.
Well,
even,
they don't
when
consider
you look at
that
shooting.
A bad shooting game if you're hitting – you're saying, okay, 8 of 21 is bad, but when you look at 4 of 8 from 3, that carries more weight because that's 12 points created. That's
and
what I mean by that.
Yeah.
So 21 possessions,
well,
he
created.
What
he's saying is he was shooting poorly from 3 in two games, too.
Yeah, he shot poorly from 3 in two games, and he shot well in two games. And he shot poorly in two games overall.
But this is just weird to be coming at, like, for us to be talking about spending this much time on Jalen, who's been their best player.
He's been fine in two of the four games. Just because he's averaging 28 points doesn't mean he's been great. Again, you go, well, Allen Iverson. No, he's not Allen Iverson.
Okay, he's averaging 28 points, almost 29.
I think the point is the consistency is what you want, because in the two games he shot poorly, they lost. In the two games he shot well, they won. So you would like him to shoot well,
but
more
the,
often because it seems to lead to winning when he shoots better.
The one that he lost, I was right there at it and watched it. You guys watch it on TV. That was a Fred VanVleet disaster. That was a Dylan Brooks and Jabari Smith disaster. That was a defensive. I would not say that Jalen Green and his shooting percentage, shooting 9 of 23, was the main culprit. Yeah, I do think he shot too many threes, 15, but they clearly are giving him the go-ahead because he's averaging 11.5 three-point attempts per game this year. But he's also, like I said, shooting 41%, which is phenomenal for Jalen Green. You tell me I got a 40% Jalen Green three-point shooter this year, I'm going to take it all
day
long.
And I just think after four games, we can look at the numbers and say, cool, but if he shoots 30% from three in game five, then the numbers are going to dip drastically because
it's only five
games.
I mean, the whole thing. It's a small sample size. I don't think too much should be made about minutes, shooting percentage. I just want to know how are they playing. It's more observatory, like, oh, that's interesting. Like you mentioned, John, well, that's interesting what's happened with minutes there. But I don't think it's indicative of anything. I think it's just interesting to observe and see how this team, you know, kind of comes together and how they play. Defensively, they've allowed 110, 109, 108, and 101, which has been okay. You might like to see that. Like, you should have held the Spurs well below 100 yesterday. That should have been the case based on where you were at one point. I think you could have done that.
What they really need to do is not have these really tough lulls that they have.
Yeah, and they're having it almost every game now.
Every game. I mean, and that's what they did last year as well, and especially in the fourth quarter. And they did it again last night. Now they had their lull against San Antonio on Friday, in the second quarter. But they really—I don't know what. Maybe he can figure it out and find a way to. You know what? When they start to go three, 4 minutes, maybe change it up, do something different. Find somebody that can just make a basket every once in a while, or get a stop every once in a while, because they got to get out of these lulls, these 7, 8, 9, 10 minute lulls in which the other team not only either comes back or takes a huge lead. And that's really something that they got to look at this year. But nice win last night, absolutely. Going to San Antonio and splitting after the tough loss the other night. So the Rockets get that job done. We got football, and we got a lot to talk about this morning here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. I'd like to start this by talking about Coors Light. I love me some Coors Light. I was finishing up watching the Mr. McMahon. I was so proud when Stone Cold Steve Austin drove a Coors Light truck into the arena and then took out kegs of beer and was spraying everybody with Coors Light. I just think that's like heaven. I just think like it just doesn't get any more fun. It just doesn't get any better for everybody involved because there's Coors Light all over in a giant truck full of beer there. Holy cow. What a great time to be had by all. Besides, I love me some Coors Light, as you may well know. And I'm going to be playing some golf today, and I'm thinking I'm going to get cold, clean, crisp, and refreshed. That's what I'm going to do. I love me some Coors Lights. I'm going to keep California chill for another day. I'll be back tomorrow in Houston, keeping Houston chill. But wherever you are, you keep it chill with cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Climb on, brother.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm looking at Fox News is doing a live report. Did you see this? Where they're outside of an Arizona voting place, and there's a kid sitting on the bench, and the back of his shirt says, and they zoom in on it, taxes are gay. It's a kid wearing a shirt. And Fox zooms in on it.
Taxes are gay?
Taxes are gay.
Wow.
Oh, no, and the reporter just keeps on talking. That kid hates taxes. He's a kid. How do you know about taxes?
He does. Dad taxes?
Yeah.
He probably thinks dad taxes are.
Well, you don't know. Maybe he loves things that are gay, and he thinks taxes are great.
You're right.
Probably he got clipped by a dad tax, and he hates it.
That could be right.
Mason hates.
You don't know.
Yeah, you don't know.
Oh, my God. I got to ask you guys this. This was actually one of my most disheartening moments as a parent happened last night. I've got paused. The Rockets are paused on. My Rockets are paused on one channel, and I got the Monday Night Football game playing at that time, so I can watch both of them. And I hear Mason start screaming, like, crazy loud. Oh! Oh! He goes, Dad, come in here immediately. He runs into the bedroom, says, come in here immediately. Come in here immediately. And so I go in. Now, do you have any idea what – do either of you want to guess what happened?
The punt return for a touchdown.
No. It's a Rockets game. Mason's only Rockets. Well, he'll watch whatever, but loves.
When Jalen Green kind of dropped Wimby but missed the jumper?
Ta-da. I get in there, and I see he goes, watch this, Dad. And Sebastian searches it back. They're both all excited. And it's Jalen Green takes Wimby off the drive. Top of the key, Jalen's isolated on Wimby. He drives past Wimby, and I'm like, oh, my God, he's about to thump on Wimby. This is going to be incredible. Instead, he stops on a dime, steps back. Wimby falls to the ground. And Jalen, and I'm like, oh, okay. And then Jalen shoots and misses. The ball goes the other way. Wimby has an assist for a basket. It's two the other way, and the Rockets call timeout. And I'm like, oh, my God. Did you just scream like that? Interrupt the entire piece? Well, there's no peace in my house ever, but did you just scream and do that? Over that, he goes, what are you talking about? He dropped him. And Sebastian goes, he dropped him, Dad. Did you see him? He went to the ground. I said he didn't make the shot. And he went back the other way, and they scored, and the Rockets called timeout. It was a -2 play. What are y'all talking about? He dropped him to the floor,
that's all,
Dad.
They care about.
That's the story. I said he didn't. And then Mason called me. This is not going to make any sense to you, John, but it will to Dell. He called me White Joe Budden because he said, you are White Joe Budden. Just a hater for no reason. I said, I'm not. I was, I didn't raise a troll, but I birthed a troll. I mean, I've got a troll living in my house.
Well, you didn't nurture him to be that.
I didn't nurture him to be a troll.
But,
that's
the internet did. But the internet did.
The internet did.
Because there are Rockets accounts who would say, well, the NBA is going to probably wipe this, but let me grab it now of that play.
Did they do that?
No.
But you feel like they... No. Did Rocket fans
say
that?
Yes, a prominent Rockets account said that and then had the clip for people to see.
But he missed.
He didn't make the shot.
I'm glad he dropped him or whatever, but that's like... he missed, and they went down and scored, and the Rockets had to call timeout because they were losing momentum. What? Oh, my God.
The world you live in.
Why do I have to live in this country where we have to –
It's all that counted. He dropped him.
Ah, well, you make the shot, and that's great. It's a highlight forever, but he bricked it.
So you miss a wide open –
He bricked a 14-footer.
You miss a wide open mid-range jumper, and we're celebrating?
Yes. Yeah. And I'm white Joe Budden now because I'm just a hater. And then he comes in. Why is Joe Budden even famous anyway? He didn't even have any hits. I'm like, I don't know. He was a rapper.
Coming from a kid who probably watches a lot of live streamers and Twitchers, he doesn't understand why a guy on a podcast would
now
be famous.
Just making me madder.
He doesn't understand why that guy would be famous. Why are the guys you love famous? What do they do?
I just couldn't believe it.
Sorry, I'm arguing with some kid I don't talk to at all.
I know. This is where this is where I live now, in a place where a missed jumper is celebrated. And apparently they're grabbing it off the internet, like you said, because...
Because the NBA might wipe it and doesn't want anyone to see it.
They don't want anyone to see that.
Yeah,
but
you know what the NBA doesn't like? Putting up highlights of people missing shots. You're right.
That's not the highlight, is the missed jumper. Like, Dad, he dropped him. And Sebastian's yelling at me like, what's wrong with you, old man? He put him on the ground. Like,
oh, my God.
That's like a knockdown in UFC. You go crazy, and then the other guy gets up and finishes you. Like, who cares? It would have been cool had he, like, made the basket. That's fine. I'm with that. But you scream, get out here immediately for this? For a missed jumper that turned into points and a timeout the other way? He has to get out of my house. I mean, I can't. And he
this
knows
is
he's
what,
a troll,
wait a minute.
And he's a good troll. He's a
this
really effective troll.
This is your most disappointing child moment?
It's this? One of them.
Yeah. All of the F's that Sebastian's come home with?
No, he doesn't come home with F's, actually. He keeps the A's and B's. Well, see, HISD is like this. What you need to know, John, is HISD is no child left behind, basically. You can get as many zeros as you want, but they say, listen, we'll give you until the end of the year to make these up. And then the lowest you'll get is a 50 as long as you take a test. Like, they do everything to make sure you pass. It's the worst example of trying to teach a kid to be his best. HISD, literally, you can't get a zero unless you just refuse to do a work. They'll give you so many opportunities. You don't turn something in. If I went to school and didn't turn something in, bang, zero, beat it, kid. And they just get zeros, just a placeholder. You want to have 5 zeros, 6 zeros, that's fine. Just make them up sometime later. Oh, I ended up getting a 20. We'll round it up. I mean, it's unbelievable. And they go to one of the best schools in the state. It's a public school. And it doesn't matter. Even they let you just jerk around. But so, yeah. Now, Sebastian did have 26 tardies that ended up. Yeah, that was 26 tardies. And he's already been in detention twice this year.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's other things, John. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is your most
important. Broke his collarbone wrestling in the. Yeah. But this right now, from a sports standpoint. No. You're right. It's the most embarrassing sports thing, except when. Sebastian also 5 years ago told me the Ball brothers would all be better than J.J. Watt. Or maybe 6 years ago.
How old was he when he said that?
He was pretty young.
At least he was
young. It was before Lonzo Ball came into
Have
the
you
league.
Let go of the wheel with
J.J.
your kids?
Watt? How are you comparing J.J. Watt to the Ball brothers?
Well, he was,
anyway?
What, six? How old? Or five?
Sebastian,
nine,
probably, so
how
he's
old
16
he?
Now, so
okay,
it probably would have been about eight.
Oh, eight, okay.
Right, when Lonzo was just getting ready to, he was.
Yeah, it's been a while for Lonzo.
Yeah, all three of, I said even the Fat Ball brother is going to be better than J.J.
We call
Watt.
Him Jello, LiAngelo.
Yeah, Jello.
So, have you let go of the wheel?
LiAngelo,
LaMelo, and Lonzo. Have you let go of the wheel with the kids?
Too much.
You've decided you're out?
No, I correct them on stuff like that. Well, that's when he was young. I needed to tell him. But now it's just too late. Jose Altuve's trash if he goes 0-for-2. Sebastian's the most reactionary, runs around screaming at everything. Watching a Colts-Texans game was just the worst. Just the absolute worst.
All right,
worst.
We got some Colts to talk about on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. I want to talk about I've changed over. I was with a different company getting my testosterone replacement for years, and I said, nope, I'm doing this one because I went over there, and they convinced me, and I think they'll convince you as well. Testosterone replacement, I mean, you know, they give you a shot. Testosterone is testosterone, but they just do it differently over at Game Day Men's Health. They, you don't have to go in there. They can send it to you, especially if you're on the go a lot and you don't have time. I just can't get there. Peptides, they have testosterone. I mean, they've got vitamin injections that are really, really cool. Somorolin, peptides, which really, really help you lose weight and get, you know, bowed up or thin. You've got Viagra and Cialis. You've got a Trimix. You've got a semaglutide. You've got vitamin injections. I got a B12 when I was there. It's sweet. It is really, really good. They know this stuff, man. And they've got a lab right there on site. They've got a permanent erectile dysfunction procedure as well. So if you're looking for the – I think it's much better. I've been doing this for years and years and years. This is better. I'm just telling you. Find out for yourself. GameDayMensHealth.com. GameDayMensHealth.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right. A couple of things before we move on. First, Thursday, we're going to watch the Texans and Jets over at Nick's place. And the first dozen tables, I'm going to buy your first bucket of Coors Light. Okay?
You say the first dozen tables?
The first dozen tables, I'm going to buy your first bucket of Coors Light. Yep. Wow. So that's going to happen. And we want to watch the game together. It's going to be mine and Lance's Hall of Fame weekend, so we're going to come in. Lance, unfortunately, has to fly to Indianapolis and back that day, so he's not going to be able to be there, but I'll be there, and we were hoping to have a send-off. And then Friday morning, we will have a send-off, and then we're going to head up to Kilgore. But so we want you to come on out, hang out. Let's watch the game together and drink Coors Lights together. Let's go. And then another thing that I need to tell you guys about is, and you better do it soon, is order your Cajun turkey for Thanksgiving from Damaris Barbecue. Do it in a hurry because they run out every year, but make sure you get on the list because it is the best turkey ever in the history of turkeys. But I know, Dell, you're not a turkey guy. I think
no,
you would
that,
like
that
the,
are Notre
you
Dame.
Would like this one.
I've had the Cajun turkey from Damaris.
They inject it. It's not, you know, on top, you know that.
It's really
not a
good
sauce. They inject
well,
it.
I know how they do it. I know they don't lather it with spicy chipotle. I'm aware.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So that's your kind of, you're not a turkey fan?
No, because turkey's like the Notre Dame of meats. It's sturdy, it's hearty, but there's only a certain ceiling can get to it. But what Damaris does changes
yeah,
the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, the injected turkeys, Cajun fried, is different.
Yeah, it's a different deal.
And they've got
it's
a really good one.
Man, it's really good. It is really good. Give me that over a chicken sandwich.
I saw Yanni again. He was at a
spicy
birthday
chicken sandwich.
Yanni was at a birthday party. I'm at a bowling alley somewhere off of Mangum and 290. Picking my daughter up from a birthday party she went to. Bing, there's Yanni again. I saw him at the Rockets game last week.
Now you see Yanni all the time.
I see Yanni all the time, and he never has turkeys with him.
He doesn't just carry them around.
Well, why didn't he have some cooked turkeys in there in case he runs into somebody?
Yeah, in case
Pop
he runs
trunk,
into people.
Pop trunk, sell. This what? Is how
he's not a rapper giving back to the community.
But rappers
yeah,
used to
be.
Also sell their CDs out of the back of a trunk.
I know.
You can sell turkeys out of the back of a trunk.
You think Yanni's looking for that?
Probably not.
No,
now,
but he should. Stage. Yeah.
Yanni's an elitist, from what I can tell. I barely know the man, but from what you talk about him,
elitist.
He seems like an elitist.
How
you
that.
Talk about him?
All right, so we got a song now.
Yes, there's a giant matchup in the ACC. People aren't aware of it's Pitt versus SMU, and
they could be playing for the championship.
Well, a spot in the championship.
Yeah.
Maybe this is an eliminator for one of those teams. We'll see how it goes the rest of the way. But
yeah, but Eli Holstein's hurt, isn't he?
Yes, and he has not played well. He didn't need to. Kyle McCord was a disaster last Thursday night, but
yeah,
he was
had to
awful.
Play well against Kyle McCord.
Awful. He was so bad.
That was historically
three
bad.
Pick sixes. Yeah. He was in the first half, I think.
In the first half.
Yeah. So SMU Sonny, as you might know by the name, an SMU fan, SMU escaped from Durham last week with a blocked field goal that sent the game to overtime. So they're undefeated in ACC play, and SMU Sonny sent us a song. Lance and I haven't heard it. John hasn't heard it. This is a blind listen, and we're premiering it here on the show. Here's SMU Sonny's Pitt SMU preview song.
John, Lance, and Dell. John and Lance come to the game Saturday. We're playing Pitt. Yeah, SMU's playing Pitt. Ford Stadium gonna be lit. John and Lance at the game eating brisket. We're playing Pitt. Yeah, SMU is legit. Last second field goal block, got no quit. In your face, TCU, yeah, we got the skillet. Playing Pitt. Rashard Smith can block and run it. Kobe Wilson, man, he can hit. Coffee order up, is it Max or Banks or Blitz? Yeah, Pitt. SMU O-line playing with grit. D-line giving ACC some fits. John and Lance will eat some banana splits. Sometime life gonna get you down. Keep working hard, take a look around. You're in the ACC winning games and you're hosting Pitt. Sometime life gonna get you down. Keep dropping bars, take a look around. You're in the ACC on TV and we're playing Pitt.
It's a banger.
Now I'm at the game with my best friends.
All right.
Lance and Johnny G gonna get this win. SMU Mustangs finally out the
pit. Okay, that's enough.
Well, that's the end of the song.
It's Why are people comparing this to Mouse? What is Mouse Rat?
I don't know.
Is Mouse Rat a? Is this an album? Is it a? Yeah, I guess there's a band called Mouse Rat.
Getting the singing Colts fan vibes from this one.
Oh, Andy Dwyer did that. Never mind. No, no, that's not singing Colts.
No, that's
fan.
Awful. That's awful.
That's that more zesty.
That wasn't a great effort by Sonny, but it was all right.
I like that. You know, he. Right. I don't think he played his own guitar there. But I like that he tried to sing. You know, he did a sing. He sung, which was something a little bit different, and instead of where his usual, yeah, you know, that's fine. He rhymed, mostly rhymed. He even said he even said brisket.
Mm.
That was one that
brisket.
I didn't expect to
skit.
Brisket, lit,
skillet,
fit, grit,
brisket.
Yeah, so
but he needs a tag. I don't know if it's a producer tag or something to let everyone know that's Sonny, because how will we know? Like, the Colts guy has this.
Go Colts!
He has something, a signature. Sonny needs a signature, other than singing over a bad track.
That Colts guy's starting to get where it makes me, like, I don't know, I get a little...
But you're a little uncomfortable? Laughing?
Not just uncomfortable, like, it just makes me, it's not makes me mad. What am I looking for? It makes me unhappy to hear him now. Like, my day gets worse. Shouldn't have told you that, but it really just like, ugh, God, I'm getting where I hate this guy.
Well, you hate him?
Yeah, I'm getting where I really don't like him.
Sonny got me wondering what...
See, I should never have told Dell that was an issue. Yeah.
Sonny got me wondering what Pendergast and Payne are doing today.
Let that man bang the bangers.
It's not a banger, though.
That one wasn't a banger.
It's just a lot of how many words can I find that rhyme with pit. And it's fine, I guess, but it's not the best.
All I know is he's putting in that work. He works hard to just literally...
He doesn't work hard.
...record something on his phone.
He does. That's the issue. He's not working hard.
It's not well produced.
No, it is not.
I will say that. That was very loud. Like, yeah, the sound wasn't great there. That's but, okay. I give him his credit.
He's got a big game this weekend.
You know what? You're not putting out any songs for Miami, so
you really
can't say anything.
I'm not third leg Greg, so no, I'm not.
Miami, stop.
I'm not part of the 7-Floor crew, so you're right, so I'm not putting out Miami songs.
Stop.
I think G-Reg.
Hey, by the way, G-Reg, Miami's plus 1,400 to win the – to win the title. I told a friend of mine, I said, fire on it. Put 100 on it for Miami to win it all. I mean...
Win it all?
Yeah, why not? 1,400? That's good odds right now. Just get to the show. They've got a very, very good offense. Miami is... A lot of people haven't seen Miami this year, but Miami's got a legit offense. And I don't know, just nobody's making me feel excited about. Like, I don't see anyone that I think is clearly the best team in football. I don't think it's Georgia, but I don't know who it is. Maybe it's Oregon. You know, maybe it's Oregon. And Oregon, apart from an early stumble, Oregon has actually handled business. And Dylan Gabriel right now is a small favorite in the Heisman. It's gone from Ashton Jeanty to Dylan Gabriel and Travis Hunter and Cam Ward are the three top favorites. You gotta pick there out of those three, John. Dylan Gabriel, Travis Hunter, Ashton Jeanty, and Cam Ward. You gotta pick out of those four.
I mean, we're only a month. There's only a month left in the season.
I know it goes fast. We need to make college. See, I guess we do. Actually, college football is longer now.
Yeah, the regular season's only a month, but the team who wins the title.
We need to make these college players start playing 14.
So is it all?
The team who wins the title is playing 16 if they get a bye.
So it's still only the regular season for the Heisman.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is a tough one.
It is a tough one. I think Cam Ward's still sitting.
Well,
in a pretty
the problem
good spot.
For Cam is he won't have. Well, he'll have a potential ACC title game, but he won't have opponents that people are going to wow. Look what Cam Ward did. He won't have that the rest of the way.
How did Dylan do against Ohio State?
He doesn't even get. Yeah, like next weekend or in the ninth, LSU and Alabama, both with two losses, are going to be on national television. Miami's going to be playing for an ACC title, undefeated, and you don't see him nationally.
No, like I said, for people who haven't seen him much, the next time you're probably going to be interested is whoever they play in the ACC title game. And for Cam Ward's sake, we're talking about a Heisman type of deal. He would want to see Clemson and see if he can light them up as a top 10 matchup. But, yeah, it's like Duke and then Wake Forest, Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, Syracuse. So it's not a lot there for him. So someone else can win this because they'll just have better opponents. I just don't know who it'll be.
I think it's going to be Jeanty.
I wonder if they will decide to give it to running back when there's not a better. I guess it's not a great option beyond him.
Who's the favorite?
It's like Dylan Gabriel's like plus 200. Then it goes Hunter. Travis Hunter's like plus 230. Then Cam Ward plus 250. And then Jeanty is plus 400. I've noticed people are saying Jeanty now. So maybe it's Jeanty. Yeah.
So if you look at Oregon, they've beaten top 25 Illinois. They've beaten Ohio State. The rest of the way, they have Michigan, not good. Maryland at home.
Michigan's still a big game, though.
I think, but the luster is off, so I'm not sure how that'll work. And it's a 2:30 game this week.
Michigan's a mess.
Wisconsin, and then Washington. So those are his opponents as far as attention grabbers. But they're the number one team in the country, so people will watch.
Yeah, Washington won't garner any, but Wisconsin.
No, there's not a lot there for a lot of these guys. And Jeanty plays the Mountain West schedule. He may just have to do it on numbers. How many yards can he get to? That will make it overwhelming for him to win the award.
Yep. All right. 745 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to get in here with us. I want to talk about this Colts thing on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now I'm talking about doors and windows. I'm talking about the best doors and windows. I'm talking about if you're replacing, this is a place that you really, really, really should check out. If you're building a home, this is a place that you really, really, really should check out. Because a builder will put in inferior windows on your home. They don't care. They're going to do it as cheaply as possible, and they're going to make and charge you the same that you would be charged if you put a Gulf Coast window in. So they're just going to charge you a bunch for those windows, I mean, for the whole deal. But you know what? Put the best window you could possibly have. Get the beauty, the privacy, the security, all of those things. Get savings because your electricity, your air conditioning isn't escaping through these windows because the installation and the window itself are second to none. You're getting the best window when you are building your home or door as well. Same thing with the doors. Go check it out. You are designing a house or you're building your house. Tell the builder, hey, I want these windows and these doors. Gulf Coast Windows and Doors. 713-849-5454 or gulfcoastwindows.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hi, welcome back here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Notre Dame football in Turkey, Dell. Notre Dame football in Turkey. All right, solid, just...
Yeah, there's a certain ceiling to Notre Dame and Turkey, unless you go to Damaris.
That's a good comparison.
What do you go...
Regular Turkey, yeah, not Damaris.
Yeah, so it's fine. You know what to expect. It's never going to reach the pinnacle of the meets or the college football world, because Notre Dame has a ceiling. Turkey does, too.
So, yesterday, Anthony Richardson caught it. And you know, we talked a little bit about it yesterday. He didn't have any. He was just tired. And he admitted he was just tired. And Shane Steichen.
Remember, that was when he had shaken. Remember, he had literally Will Anderson on his back and he threw him off.
Yeah.
And then he ran right and then got tackled. Not for a gain, I don't think.
Yeah, Jake Hansen got him.
And then he tapped his head.
He tapped his head, said, I need out.
Well, I'm watching it right now. They're playing it on ESPN right now. Oh, no, it was Folu Fatukasi. Yeah, I guess he did gain. No, didn't really end up gaining anything.
But that's how hard that dude is to bring down. That's a big dude, Foley. And he couldn't bring him down.
No.
Holy crap. Anyway, Shane Steichen even said, you can't do that, dude. You can't do that. You're the quarterback.
Yeah, as the quarterback, he can, you know, he can stay in. But I think it's being blown out of proportion, though.
Yeah.
It was a third and goal from a 23. It was going to be a handoff, which is why you stay in the game. Like, running backs tap out all the time, right?
Yeah.
After they try to make a run.
Tap out. I've never seen a quarterback tap out.
No.
Never.
That's the problem is we've never seen it.
No.
I also don't think he's in great. I think Anthony Richardson probably needs to lean down a little bit and get in better shape, possibly.
That's a problem. That's a problem. Because if you're not playing at your peak, you know, and especially when you are who you are, how about these stats? These stats for Anthony Richardson. Dude, Anthony Richardson ranks 222nd in completion rate, 50%, among the 225 quarterbacks with 250-plus dropbacks since 2000. Out of 225, he's 222nd. He is behind Jamarcus Russell, Troy Smith, Curtis Painter, Ryan Lindley, Ryan Leaf. He's one above Tim Tebow. All of these guys had he's behind Andrew Walter. He's behind Ryan Leaf. He's behind Jamarcus Russell. I mean, you talk about, and how long was Jamarcus Russell in the league? This is looking like a huge disaster.
Well, he's had 10 starts, and this is why I think people struggle a little bit because he's been in the league for, quote-unquote, this is his second year. But this is the problem the Colts have, and this is why I really didn't think they could draft a developmental project like Anthony Richardson. It's just that he's going to require, like, you have to have the patience, which would have been fine if he played out last year. But once he didn't get a play out last year and didn't get the reps he needed, now you're stuck because it's another year where the GM's trying to win. The head coach
is more
trying to win.
How much more than that?
What's that?
But how much more than that?
How much more than what?
Well, how much more than this year? You're going to have this whole year to look at them.
Well, yeah, but
it's not like guys that you haven't given. I mean, Jamarcus Russell, they just said, yeah, he ain't got it. That's
how much? How many starts do you think Jamarcus Russell got? Jamarcus Russell was a problem with, he was a problem with character. Jamarcus was a problem with work ethic. That's not a problem for, they love this kid. I mean, he's got high character. They love Jamarcus Russell.
I really think
they love Richardson, but.
I really think they're going to love him as a tight end.
No, did you hear that, Dell? John's just trying to move a black quarterback to another position. Okay, John Polian.
Well.
Okay, John Polian.
There might be some tight ends.
Who was the big guy from Virginia Tech?
Might be some tight ends that might complete more than 44% of their passes.
Well, David Montgomery threw a pretty good spiral.
Which is what he's completing right now.
Running back. Let me. But once again, I mean, this is always who he was. This was never not going to be who he was. He showed you who he was in college. And then you had Dan Orlovsky in just a pathetic attempt to cater to the masses saying, I can't find any. Where's the inaccuracy on his tape? I can't find it.
look at this pass.
I can't find accuracy. I'm like, Dan, this is when he was coming out for in the draft. I'm like, oh, my God, this is the most pandering thing I've ever heard. It takes you about 40 seconds of turning the tape on to find the inaccuracies. Now, he's got a lot of talent. He's got a lot of potential. But really, in a perfect world, you would let him play a good full two seasons of football. Let him get 30 games under his belt because he didn't play enough in college either. Like, but this is the problem is what you're talking about, John, is who has that kind of runway anymore?
Well, listen, 5.3% of his passes have been intercepted.
Well, I know the stats.
57.2 passer rating.
The stats are some of the worst stats I've ever heard of. And I don't think he's going to end up being an NFL quarterback. But in fairness, I want to say, because I do believe that you got to give rookies a chance, and he's one of these guys who he is a rookie this year. No matter what you say, he's a rookie. He's only started 10 games. But you also have to, like, the Colts have a chance to make the playoffs this year. And if they keep playing Richardson, they won't have that chance.
Correct.
Flacco gives you a better chance. But Flacco is just another, just like Ryan, not Ryan Leaf, but just like Phillip Rivers, like Matt Ryan, like all Jacoby Brissett, like all these other guys, he's another Band-Aid guy, and he's not a developmental. Like, you stick Richardson, and I'm not saying this is not the right move. I think they should play to win right now. But you stick Richardson on the bench, who was supposed to be your developmental guy, it's almost like you go into next season with him as your starter potentially, or maybe you bring him in for certain packages, but he doesn't stay healthy, as big as he is, and frankly, they don't run him enough. So what good is it if you're going to have him throwing? He's the worst pass. John, you're going to read a series of stats that are going to show he's one of the worst passers other than Deshaun Watson to ever play the game.
Well, tell it to Dan Orlovsky because this is his latest tweet. Richardson's tape, significantly better than the stat line / box score.
So there you go.
Significantly.
He did have some drops in the game. There were some drops, but it's not significantly. Dan needs to stop. This white knight stuff that he's doing with quarterbacks, it's really got to stop.
Well,
he's got to be real about it. He's got to be
honest.
I think
it's a black quarterback thing.
Well, yeah, he's trying to I'm going to protect you. Dude, stop treating quarterbacks like they're infants because of their race. Dude, just be real about players. If they aren't playing good, say they're not playing good. If they are, say they are. But you got to be real about this because he's not good. He's going to get guys fired. But he also needs time to get better. But do you have that time right now? Do the Colts have that timetable? I mean, I don't think so. I think they've got to win. Ballard needs to win. Steichen needs to win. They've got a guy who's obviously better on the bench because he can actually operate the offense.
Do you know what the since 2018 the max air yards per attempt is?
Well, I mean, I'm sure he has the record now.
Oh, he's by far.
I mean, he's got
13 point. His air yards right now 13.2 per attempt. Since 2018, nobody has averaged more. Has averaged 11.
Wow.
Nobody's averaged 11.
I've never even heard that stat. I mean, I know air yards stat, but air yards per attempt, I've never even really looked at that.
Air yards per attempt. It's 13.2.
Well, how about yards per completion?
Well, that.
Go look at yards. You can find that at Pro Football.
Well,
Reference.
It's not good because he ranks third to last in yards per game, 159.
Not yards per attempt, yards per completion.
Per completion, yeah. Actually, I think he is accurate. He's one of the more accurate downfield throwers.
Well, no, it's only yards per completion. So he can throw incompletions left and right. It doesn't matter. But when he completes them, they're like 50 yards plus.
Right. If it's 13.2 per attempt, then it's got to be 30.
That's what I mean. Like,
it's got to be 30 per completion.
That's what I mean. His yards here.
Oh,
it is.
Well, that's easy to figure out.
His yards per his yards per completion is right here. It's 16.2. He leads the league. 16.2 yards per completion. He leads the league.
And it's 13.2 per attempt.
Yeah, wow. He can throw deep, but he's not good. So, I did think Pat McAfee said he quit on his team, which to me was just completely irrational. I was on a text string with some of my guys in a certain text string, and they were like, look, I'm not a big McAfee guy. I respect the hustle. I think he hustles great. I think he built his brand. It's great. He's just not for me personally. I think he's kind of it's kind of it's just too much.
Like, I like him on game day.
Yeah, I don't watch a ton of game day now. I have heard he's better on game day,
but he's good on big game.
Yeah, that's fine. It probably works on some on game day, I guess. But that's who you get everywhere. I mean, he does professional wrestling. He is an over the top character, and I don't know. He's just not for me. He's not my cup of tea, I guess. Pat McAfee, but I respect the hustle and all that other stuff. But you know, he comes out and says some wild stuff sometimes, John. Like, I had a real problem with what he did to Matt Araiza, who, by the way, leads the league in punting, and that's the guy who was out of football because he was wrongly accused of rape. Even the prosecutor in the case ended up making that. She ended up dropping the case, and she was on tape telling the person who was making the accusations, like, she said, "You didn't tell us all this information. This. She said, he should not be charged with this." And so, you know, he got his career back, luckily. But, you know, the things that, instead of making a general statement, the things that Pat McAfee said about him, like, McAfee just fires his gun and he doesn't worry about the repercussions. And it's the same thing. Oh, he quit on his team, Anthony Richardson. Dude was out for one snap on a 3rd and 23 and came right back in. I do agree. If you're a quarterback, you can just hand off. It's not, you know, get your breath and hand off. You're not going to, you know, don't go to the sidelines. But that guy's a former Colt with a box. He's got a box. Did you know that? He's got a suite, a field suite. And I don't know if you know that or not, Lucas Oil Stadium.
Well, no, he's a big Colts fan.
Yeah, no, he goes to the home game. So.
Well, and that was a fan speaking. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776 is the number to get in here. It's 8 o'clock on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I think we got a couple of tickets, right, for the U of H game today, Saturday night, though, we'll give away. Let's do that in the next hour here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I want to talk about Nico Nikos, all right? This is exciting for me. This is the first time I'm doing a live spot for them. I love Dimitri. Is awesome. The whole family. His son is a monster. He's going to play. He's going to be a big-time tackle in college football and hopefully someday in the pros. But this Nico Nikos is awesome. You know, the Greeks invented tailgating, right? All right. Back in the Olympics when it started, you don't think they were outside eating? They were out there eating gyros or chicken skewers or spinach and cheese pies or pita chips with tzatziki. I mean, the tzatziki, that's a key for your gyro. Okay. Is a gyro better than a taco? Huh? Is pasticcio better than lasagna? Huh? I mean, you be the judge. But be the judge from Nico Nikos. Go to catering at Nico, or you can email them at catering@niconikos.com or niconikos.com/catering and cater your event, your Thanksgiving feast or your Christmas dinner. You can get it all at Nico Nikos. Of course, they got the three locations. They've been forever at Montrose and Westheimer. They got one at I-10 in the Beltway, and they got a new one, the Woodlands, 922 Lakefront Circle. It's at I-45 near Research Forest. And it is blowing up. It is awesome. If you haven't been to Nico Nikos, if you love Greek food, this is the place to go, and let's get your tailgate on at niconikos.com/catering.